GE kettles have a certain sound that they play when they're done. There are washing machines that have certain things that play when they're done. There are cycles, whatever those are. You know, there's all sorts of things like that. And I think there should be more, honestly.
Welcome to List Envy, the podcast that thinks more things should be heard and not seen. I'm Mark Steadman, and every week I bring on a guest, and together we collaborate to build a top five list on a topic they choose. This week, my guest is voice actor Jodie Crangle, and together we are building our top five list of Sonic logos.
We are steadily becoming completely inundated with the visual. And we do rely on it a lot, but I think we should be relying on it less because we have like Google Home and Alexa and VR and all sorts of things that are happening around us. Also, it allows us to be more multitask friendly. When you're watching something, it's really hard to split your attention between other things. And when, for instance, when you're listening to a podcast, and podcasts can have their own audio brand as well, you can do other things, right? You can exercise, you can commute, you can do your laundry, you can do your dishes, you can, you know, whatever else. Your attention doesn't have to be entirely on that thing because we can multitask much better when we're listening than when we're looking at something. I think that it can conceivably be less expensive to have an audio brand than a visual brand in some cases. And I think that it has more of a tie-in to our memory and will work better in advertising by far, actually. So, and especially when you do things the right way, which probably we're going to talk about with these sonic branding identities that we're going to talk about, a lot of them have used these sonic branding ideas and parts for so long that we're so used to them. They're a part of our lives. We don't forget them. It's like listening to a jingle from 20 years ago or 30 years ago and still being able to sing the lyrics to whatever that jingle was. Like, we're from different locations, so we're likely to have different jingles we grew up with, but I mean, we remember them.
Oh, yes.
And advertising is all about memory. It really is. If you do not remember who the person that paid for that advertising is after you have watched that advertising or listened to that advertising, it's failed advertising.
Why don't we have a crack at building our top five Sonic logos? Why would you please give me your number one pick?
Oh, God, Intel. I mean, come on. How could it not be Intel? Also, I grew up in the 80s, so I remember when this thing started. Like, you know, like it was way, way back. I don't know exactly when. I don't think it was. Well, like it was right when computers became a going concern and became like PCs on your desk. Mm-hmm. And what they did was, and this was absolute brilliance on their part, they bought ads at the end of other tech company ads. So they didn't necessarily advertise themselves. What they did was they split the cost with, say, Microsoft or whoever was making the latest whatever that was using their chip. And then at the end of it, it would say Intel inside, dun, 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 right? Like you get that, like that just, it was the ending thing on everything. So like Dell sells computers even now with that Sonic logo at the end of it. And it is so memorable. Like it's just everywhere. It was everywhere while I was growing up. And I am a huge techie. And so I would watch all of these and it was so consistently used and so repetitious that it was just part of every tech thing that was out there. So, yeah, and I still remember it. I don't know anyone who doesn't know what that is.
No. That's really interesting about like buying the sort of, or helping to offset the cost of the ad time, because there are so many, you know, certainly in the UK, if there's, you know, we'll have an electronics shop and it will talk about a laptop with a new Intel Xeon or whatever. And then you'll hear the bop, 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 bop. And I always thought or assumed my sort of, you know, 3 years of media studies, that was some kind of agreement in that if you're going to mention Intel, you have to play the bongs.
You know, that might be now, but in the beginning they had to sub. I mean, it's a chipset. Like, what?
Who, what are you doing?
What is? Well, no, but I mean, like, in the beginning, like, think about it. Like, yeah, people knew what the big computer was. They had no idea or cared about the chip that was inside it. Like, who cared, right? Like, no one knew.
They made us care what Pentiums were.
Yeah, exactly. So it was sheer brilliance on their part to sort of piggyback on the people making the computers where their chip was inside it, because that made them a commodity that was worth following. You know, now they can probably say, look, you know, if you're going to mention our chip, we need that Intel bong at the end of it. And that's it. Like, maybe they don't have to pay anything at this point ever again. I don't know. but it was just brilliance on their part, because it made something that no one knew anything about and probably wouldn't have cared at all about if they'd advertised it themselves, a going concern.
Absolutely. Yeah, my parents, who knew nothing about computers, would know enough that if someone said Intel, they'll go, oh, that's probably good then. And that's exactly what the purpose of something like this is.
Yep, exactly.
Perfect. Okay, my number one, it's a sound of my youth. It's a sound of nostalgia. And for me, it predates my memory of Intel anyway. But it is... Sega. There was the novelty of having a 16-bit games console and real voices come out of it. That was incredible. And obviously EA would then do the same thing with EA Sports. It's in the game. But to,
or
you know, for your sort of...
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
I don't know how she said that or what voice they used, but it was always, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of it was the novelty of, wow, you know, this little machine can do that. But also, it's just, it's such a, the actual Sonic, the Hedgehog team, they were amazing at music and sort of sound design anyway. And so, you know, because I always... In my head, it always goes Sonic, Sega, and then the start of the Sonic the Hedgehog theme.
Yeah, yeah.
But the, you know, they're two separate teams, but that logo is just, wouldn't have the same kind of reach as something like an Intel, because it wasn't really used in advertising, but it was absolutely iconic and unmistakable and unusual as well. You know, I think that's part of it as well. It was unusual. And yeah, you know, you see it, you hear it, you see the logo swish past, and it's instantly evocative. And so that's why it's not my number one.
I totally get it. Yeah. I was never much of a huge gamer back then. So I didn't hear those kinds of sounds as often, maybe, as you did.
Well, you see, I was never allowed. We never had. My brother managed to get my parents to buy us buy him an Amiga.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he could twist it so that he would say that he could do his work, his homework on it, which never transpired.
Yes.
We would not be allowed a console. And so this would always be, I'd go to a cousin's and then I'd hear it and be blown away, you know.
Well, those early games, though, they shape us. They really do. Yeah.
So there you go. That is my number two. My number one. What is your number two, please?
It's got to be McDonald's. Actually, that started as a Justin Timberlake song.
Yes.
Such an interesting, see, what I love about this whole story for McDonald's is that it started as something and then gradually got whittled down to just the bare necessity parts, right? So it was a hit song for a while. I think they had Justin Timberlake doing it for like a year and a half or something like that. And then they paid someone else to do it for a little while. And then they started only using the chorus. And then they just boiled it down to a 5-note thing, you know, right? So it kind of evolved over time. But it's become so much a part of their identity at this point that I think if they got rid of it, I don't know what people would do.
No. And I'm trying to think about when that came about. In my head, I'm thinking about 97, 98.
You're probably right. I'd have to research the exact date. I don't know exactly.
Because I always think of it in my head. I'm like, it's quite modern as a sound identity. But no, it's over 20 years old.
It is. But actually, in audio branding terms, it's pretty modern if you're really thinking about it that way. But yeah, I was fascinated by the whole development. So that's kind of what happened when I was doing my own audio brand for the podcast. Because I started from something with a license-free music directory. I liked a particular riff. And then I had someone write something for me that was different, but sort of had a similar riff because I liked the earworm of that. And then I had someone else write a different one. So, you know, like, but it still had that kind of little earwormy riff in it. You know, like that's what I wanted to. So I found it by experimenting over time. And a lot of times these audio brands evolve over time. They totally do. And they should. They are like living organisms. And I think that's totally valid. So I love that the McDonald's sonic identity sort of mirrors that.
I like the point you make actually about the evolution from the song. It's almost as if it's been pared down and pared down to its sort of almost atomic unit, or it's, you know, it's bare, you know, all you need is that little whistle.
Yes.
And you've got it and you know what it is. And you can just do it with a whistle, you know, and it carries with it that weight. We associate, I can't do the whistle very well. Yeah, but you can associate those five notes. You see the phrase, you see the golden arches. It's just bang. It's instantly there in your brain.
And it can be used in so many different ways. This is what I love about it. So you can do it in minor keys. You can do it in, you know, you can have like Christmas music behind it. You can, you know, do a jazzy version. Like you can do whatever you want with those notes, but it's still very recognizably McDonald's, which is just brilliance.
For my number two, I'm also going fast food. And I'm going for a very recent one. And I'm purely doing it on aesthetics because every time I hear it, I just go, ooh, that's just, ooh, it's lovely.
Okay.
And it's the KFC little logo that they have at the end of ads now. And I don't know. I'm going to assume this is worldwide, but there's a sort of, if I were to read the advertising, the sort of rationale behind it. I haven't, but my guess would be that they're sort of mimicking the sound of fingers on a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, it's just, isn't it? It's just, ooh, it's satisfying to hear. And I like it. It's a lovely collection of sounds.
It's popcorn chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's nice. What is your number three?
My number three is gotta be Netflix. Because of everybody being on streaming these days, you're hearing it all the time. So, yeah, it's one of those things that's becoming part of our culture and everywhere, like not just where I am, but where you are, all over the US. Like it's, you know, India, like Asia, wherever. Like it's becoming completely a part of our streaming television watching experience.
And I think an interesting thing with that, for me anyway, is that the visual brand has evolved a lot.
Yes.
And yet the dumb, there's, I'm sure there's been some augmentation, but it's basically been that since
it still works.
Yeah, exactly. Since the days where it was red text on white, and it was that big sort of shadowy, you know, big Netflix text, and now they just use the big N, the narrow N.
Yeah, but it sort of degrades into colors, right? Like it's just such an interesting logo, really. But that sound it still works.
And it gives you that sort of sense of, right, we're probably going to be in for something fun now, because it's the Netflix originals, really, isn't it, that is signaling. I think they use it more for more stuff now, but it feels, I associate it with, all right, we're probably going to watch something, a bit of prestige TV now, so, let's settle in. It's got that kind of signifier to it. Yeah.
Yeah. The anticipation. I like it as a anticipation sonic logo. I think it's really, really good. Yeah. So what is your third?
My third is, there is an iteration of this that is also streaming related, but the original is basically, it's the Apple Mac startup sound. Has its DNA in A Day in the Life by the Beatles. It's the same chord at the end of that song. I think it's also the same chord as, because I worked in an office years ago before I'd ever touched a Mac. I was a Windows guy and all the designers had Macs. And they'd turn them on in the morning, and every time it would remind me of Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
That makes sense, yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the thing that my brain could latch onto at the time, whereas, because I'd never used a Mac before, so it was like, I kept, every time a Mac would turn on, I kept going, it's been 7 hours.
That's good. Yeah, Windows has its own as well, right? So
it does. It's had many. But from the sort of tada.wav days in Windows 3.1 to there's a nice compilation on YouTube of all the different sounds that Windows has had over the years.
I'll have to take a listen to that. I haven't heard that, but yeah, I'm a PC person, not a Mac person. So for me, it's, I am on this podcast on a PC.
Yes. There you go.
So yeah, but I have heard that Mac logo a lot, and yeah, and it hasn't changed really, has it?
No. It started as a single beep, and it has it's evolved, and yeah, it hasn't really changed. I wonder whether, because I remember this from hearing about this years ago, so that in the UK there is a long-running radio soap called The Archers, and it is it has a very, I don't want to say very iconic, because that's lazy language. It has an iconic theme tune. And I'd asked someone working at the BBC at the time, has this ever changed? Have they ever re-recorded it? And he said once, when they went from mono to stereo.
Okay. Yeah.
Other than that, it's remained the same. And I wonder if, there is a stereo version of the bong and a mono version. But other than that, it probably hasn't changed much.
Yeah. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
And that's the weird thing. For a short period, new Macs that you would buy did not have the startup sound. And then they brought it back because, people need it, I guess. What is your number four?
I'm going to go with State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
One of the really interesting things when it comes to insurance, especially in the US, is that they've had to be very imaginative, because to get the advertising to really impress you, to be a part of your life, to really be memorable, they've had to go in so many extreme directions because insurance is generally boring. I mean, it's insurance, right? So, if you're going to advertise something boring, you may as well get excited with the advertising and do something different. I think what State Farm did was they very much leaned into the whole, we're going to take care of you thing. And I think that was really important to relate to the audience. So they didn't necessarily go in a humorous direction. A lot of them do. and totally, that is a valid way to make a boring subject more exciting. I totally get it.
Paging Dr. Geico. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But what I love about State Farm is, again, the whole McDonald's notes thing. They can use the notes in so many different ways. They've had a spokesperson. You can speak the words in so many different ways. The notes work with all different types of commercials. I just think it's very versatile. And And it's been, you know, it's been useful for them for years. And also having the name in the Sonic logo also helps with recognition.
Yeah, there's no tearing those two things apart.
Yeah, exactly.
So my number four then is for the Cadbury Chocolate Company. I don't know if provenance is the right word, but the thought that's gone into it anyway is that it was composed on a Steinway piano from 1895. And it works very well with that sort of heritage brand that Cadbury want to suggest. And so I live mere miles away from the Cadbury's chocolate factory.
Yeah. We have Cadbury here too. It's just not the UK version.
No, exactly. Yeah. It'll be the version owned by Kraft Cheese, I believe.
I didn't know that, but ooh.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Kraft bought Cadbury's a good while back.
Well, I mean, we're in Canada, so yeah. So it's not the US version. So it doesn't use some of the stuff that they put in their chocolate there, which I think makes it, honestly, I think it tastes a little better in the UK.
It's one of those where when you look at it with if you're watching an ad and then you see the logo come up, it's a quite subtle, easy to be missed kind of few notes on a piano, but you can hear what's interesting. What's nice about it is you can hear the piano, and I don't just mean, you know, the notes, you actually hear a little bit of the pedal.
Yeah, you hear the echo of the actual, like, I play piano by ear, but I played all through growing up, so I know what a piano sounds like, and that really, it's a comforting sound to me.
Yeah, and I think with that lovely sort of purple that they have trademarked, it's again one of those brands that just sort of says, it just sort of, there you go, just for a brief second, just, it's fine, and it's nice, and I appreciate it for that. Okay, what is your number five?
I'm gonna go for something that is a little unusual, and that is Renault. The car company recently, I mean, probably it's from 2017, so it's like recent-ish. But it's done by Cesium Song. They're a sonic branding company that has been working throughout the world for a long, long time. And Renault, of course, is a European company, I believe.
Yes, and for my European listeners, we might say Renault.
Yes.
Well, not in that accent, we wouldn't, but we might say Renault. Yeah.
But I've had people on the podcast talking to me about this brand and how interesting it was to come up with something different for them, because a lot of car companies go the whole metal on metal or motor vehicle, like, you know, engine sounds, right? And Renault went a different way. They made it into more person identity. Like they had like singers and actual people on it. And I think that was very different for a car company when it first came out. I don't know how different it is right now, because I think they set a trend. But they were one of the first ones to do that. And I thought it was a really, really good brand sonic identity to have, to actually bring out the humanity rather than the carness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a rich sound. There's a lot going on, which and that's a lovely thing that you can do in sound that you can't do in imagery. You know, you start talking about a logo incorporating too many things, and very, very quickly it becomes busy. Whereas there's texture, there's layers, there's all sorts of things we can apply in audio, and it still be completely memorable.
Yeah. I just thought that they got to the essence of what the car would do for you, as opposed to what the car was, which I think that's more where we're heading now. People want to know, well, what's in it for me, right? That's good advertising. You're telling people what's in it for them.
Lovely. My final then, my number five is the Xbox 360. I like a sound that when I hear it, I am called to sort of replicate it myself. And there's a sound at the end, because it's got all this sort of whoosh sound. And then there's just this interesting little kind of sound at the end, which every time I hear it, I have to go And you know, it's a unique sound, and it is again a bit like the Netflix thing. It's that anticipation of I'm gonna waste an hour and a half.
I love that you replicate that sound. I think that you're compelled to replicate
yes.
it.
Oh, God,
I love
yeah.
it.
It's just, it's so fun to just, once you realize you can get that bit in the back of the throat and just go, it's, yeah.
So and, much fun. Yes, that's fun.
Yeah, because I can't whistle, so I can't do the McDonald's one. So two more quick things while I have you. First off, what do you think of the new intro? Slightly different, just a little bit of a tweak on a classic, but you know, I'm kind of into getting us into the fun as much as possible or as quickly as possible. That is what I'm experimenting with there. Any thoughts, you know where to get in touch with me if you already do. If you don't, you can email mark@hellostedman.com. You will be able to reach me there. Also, if you have comments on this particular episode, if you're thinking, I can't believe they didn't mention this, or once you hear us put our final list together, you're like, I can't believe that's the order they chose and they snubbed. This was snubbed, I tell you. If you've got comments on that, then listenvypod.com. Find the latest episode on the website there. And leave your thoughts. I'm always delighted to read anything like that you've got, and we'll happily share it on the podcast as well, as long as it is listener friendly. Go and do that. Coming up, we've got just a cornucopia of lovely episodes. Next week, we are talking endangered and threatened animals. Then we've got real inventions inspired by sci-fi. We're talking sci-fi movies as well, and androids therein. We've got ways to explore a new city, Bond gadgets. It's all happening. It's all coming up. And I'm thoroughly delighted with what we've got coming up. So if you are not already following the podcast, listenvypod.com again has got your back there. There's buttons for Apple and Spotify, but you could also just search your podcast app for List Envy and you will find us. In some cases, you will find us twice. But that's just a quirk of metadata. They'll both take you to the right place. If you haven't already done that, I suggest that you do, and do leave us a comment on this episode if you've got any thoughts about what we missed, what we got wrong, what we should have added, or if you want to give us your endorsement as well. And also huge thanks to Jodie for being so much fun, being a great guest, do check out her podcast. You will hear a little bit more about that, and of course a link is in the show notes as well, but do check out not only her podcast but her voice work as well. As you can tell, she's got a great voice. So let us get back to Jodie then and our top five list of Sonic logos. I'm going to suggest to you, this is my draft list, and see what you think, and we can make some adjustments and see how this hits you. From 5 to 1, and I think we might want some adjustments here, but from 5 to 1, I've gone the Apple Mac startup sound, McDonald's, Sega, Netflix, and Intel right at the top, because, I mean, you know, it's outlasted everything and it is so iconic.
I definitely think Intel needs to be at the top. And I think that Netflix does really good at second. I would say McDonald's should be higher on that list. So I'm thinking like switch it with Sega. But Sega, I think, is a good 4. And Apple as a 5, sure. Yeah,
sure.
I think that works. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, then I will formally ask you, Jodie Krangle, do you consent to this list?
I do consent to that list.
So, what didn't make your top five then? Because I've got a couple more.
Yeah. Well, there's another one that uses the sound of the actual item itself, and that is Tostitos.
Oh.
So Tostitos is like a tortilla brand in the US. I don't know if they're in, I know they're in Canada. I don't know if they're in the UK.
I don't believe we have them. No. I know of the brand, but yeah.
Yeah. So Made Music, a fellow named John Tate was on my podcast and he talked about this logo and how they came up with it. And it was a fascinating story. And it's just fascinating how they did this, because they basically used the container, like the chip plastic bag, the chips themselves, like how they cracked in your mouth. Like it was like a whole bunch of, you know, opening the can. Like it was just all of these sounds combined made such an interesting sonic logo that I was fascinated. And I find it very much like the KFC logo you were talking about.
That is a missed opportunity for Pringles.
Yes, yes, it
because
is.
Because if you just get that, the satisfying sort of feeling of thumbing open a tube of Pringles and that the air escaping as it goes pop, like, that's what you want.
Yeah. Snapple did the same thing, right? Snapple, yeah. And I don't know if you have it in the UK, but...
No, I don't think so, but again, yeah.
But Snapple as a brand, they actually worked really hard on how the cap comes off of their glass bottles.
Nice.
And they worked on it so hard that when they had to switch to plastic, they wanted the same sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all sorts of ways that this comes into play in ways we don't realize until we're experiencing the brand and in subtle ways that we wouldn't think would make a big difference, but actually do.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. My only other one, actually, because I had Netflix, the other one was I thought I would ask, did somebody say Just Eat? That was listed in a Jeopardy. So we had a short run of Jeopardy in the UK here, and that was listed in a category that was like annoying adverts. And I thought, you know what? No, I don't find Did Somebody Say Just Eat annoying. I find it quite fun, and I'm going to allow it. So Just Eat is a food delivery service
like DoorDash.
Like Postmates or DoorDash, yeah.
We have something called Skip the Dishes here. So yeah, it's kind of the same deal.
Yeah. And it's international, but bizarrely in Australia, because they have strange names for things, it's called Menu Log.
Okay.
And yeah. It's so much so that so there've been two big high profile ads from Just Eat. One was with Snoop Dogg, and the other one was Katy Perry, which came out I think in 2019. And yeah, somebody made Katy Perry sing "Did Somebody Say Menu Log," which just seems a strange thing. That was a job that she had to do at one point.
Wow.
Say that collection of words. But it's a fun one. And also they have a variation. So they use this Did Somebody Say Just Eat, which is it's a little melody that's sung. And even in ads where they do something very different, they just have that little tag, and it's memorable. It's enough of a definable thing without, I think, tipping over into being annoying, which is very, it's a thin line.
It's a fine line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think they walk it just fine.
I had someone on the podcast. His name is Valentin Fleur. He's local here to Toronto, and he's working with Cesium Song. He's their Canadian representative here. And he recently worked with Interac. So Interac is a debit company that we use here. And recently, they were tasked with making people more aware of their spending habits. So it wasn't to get people to buy more, because they're a debit company, so they wanted to go in a different direction. They wanted people to pay more attention. So it's not so much a sonic logo as it is a series of music pieces that you listen to while you're shopping, which is really an interesting application of sound. I found it absolutely fascinating. And the idea was you keep it in major keys and you keep moving things around. So people have to pay attention to what they're listening to. And when you have to pay attention, you spend less, or you're more conscious of what you're spending. I don't know that you're spending less necessarily, but at least you know what you're spending it on, as opposed to just walking through a store and handing someone your credit card. Like, you know what I mean?
That also reminded me of something. I can't believe I didn't include this, because it felt, yeah, it's, it is a part of sonic branding, but it's probably not a sonic logo, but it is unique to this company. So you made me think about this. There's a bank here called Monzo, and it's a digital only bank. And when you get, so there's two, so it's all app based. And there are two different notification sounds. There's one for when money goes out of your account. And there's one where money comes in, and the sound of when money comes in is so oh, it's just, it's another one of those. It's very satisfying. It's a lovely collection of, you've got a sort of a cash register sound, but also a kind of an 8-bit, almost chip tune kind of little thing that comes in as well. And it just, it sounds like digital confetti with a little bit of money. You know, it sounds like the equivalent of someone throwing money in the air and it coming down in ribbons. You know, it's really lovely. It's very short. But every time you get paid, you get this delightful little sound. And I love the thought that's gone into it.
I love that. That's awesome. I know MasterCard just did their whole audio brand as well. And that is worldwide. So I didn't mention it because as much as I like it, it's not as memorable as I would like it to be. It's one of those things where, yes, it is a very interesting sonic landscape, but I don't know that there's any one part of it that really was an earworm for me. You know what I mean? So I liked it, and it certainly gives them a broader appeal in a lot of cases. But again, it wasn't as memorable as I thought it could have been.
If I say the name Pearl and Dean, does that mean anything to you?
No.
So this, you see, I can't believe I didn't talk about this either. This is incredibly iconic, certainly in the UK. I don't actually know what Pearl and Dean do. I think they are an advertising, you know what? I don't know what they do, but they are associated with movies. And they would often come on before or after the adverts, you know, the commercials before the trailers. And they have a massively iconic piece of music, which I will send to you because it's a great piece of music. And no one, it's for a piece of sonic branding, you know, it's Pearl and Dean, but no one knows what Pearl and Dean is or does.
That's funny.
But it's okay. An incredibly recognizable and kind of evocative piece of music. But yeah, I'll have to send that to you. Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, enough of this tomfoolery. tell me all about the Audio Branding Podcast. Tell the listener all about the Audio Branding Podcast, please.
Well, I talk to people who are experts in the field. I am not an expert in the field, clearly. but I have a curiosity. I'm a voice talent. I'm actually a voice actor, and I've been doing that full-time for over 16 years now. So I mostly deal in advertising and corporate narration and that kind of thing. And so I started to notice that I was the last person they called into a project. And it kind of struck me that maybe they should be thinking about the sound of their production a little earlier on in the project. You know, and the voice talent isn't necessarily the entirety of the audio of that project. So, you know, I understand that these things happen. But I was thinking, you know, why don't I talk to the people who hire voice actors? Because I want to know what goes through their head.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. And I also was really curious as to how sound influences our daily behavior, but also our buying decisions and all of the things that I work in, because I wanted to know psychologically, neurologically, how that all works. And it's been a fascinating journey. It's 4+ years now and over 230 episodes. And I am still learning. And I talk to such incredibly brilliant people. They're just amazing. And every one of them has something, a golden nugget that has to do with sound in our daily lives and how it influences us. And you know, and I talk to not just branding people, but I talk to music therapy people. I talk to scientists. I talk to podcasters. I talk to sometimes, you know, casting directors and public speaking coaches and all sorts of people who have to do with sound on behalf of other people. And it's been quite the journey. I've learned a ton.
Amazing. And you are also available to hire as a voice talent.
I am, yeah.
Where should people go to find you and your work?
Mostly you would find everything on voiceoversandvocals.com.
And said, you know, it delivered perfectly as well, as you would imagine.
Well, people often miss the S, so I want to make sure that that I pronounce that. Yes.
Absolutely. Hit the S without becoming sibilant. It's a fine line. It's always a challenge.
All about the mic.
Yes. What is that lovely mic that you're using?
This mic is a HyperX. It's a gaming mic and it has an LED inside it, so I can make it whatever color I want it to be. And my color is generally burgundy. So I have it in that shade and it matches everything in my office.
Oh, beautiful. Wonderful. Well, Jody, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on List Envy.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun, Mark. Thank you.